Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet tonight. How many want to be planted on higher ground tonight? Oh, we are tired of this mountain. One rung higher tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm pressing on the upward way.
I'm pressing.
Every day new tonight, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Run it, Jesus.
should come looking to do something for us tonight. Otherwise, we just come, maybe just sit to hear a little sermon. Just come to church. It won't do us much good. But if we can come with a sincere heart, if we can come confess our sins, if we can come with a determination of our heart, if He must speak to us tonight, I believe He will. If you have a request, just hold it in your heart and believe it. Psalm says, we trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you're all burdened down tonight, if you're all in distress, the enemy on every side, be confident tonight. Lift your eyes unto the hills and come at your help. The mountains are all around Jerusalem, so the Lord is around His people. For he that keepeth Israel neither slumber nor sleep. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, to be gathered together in your presence tonight. We come into your house, Lord, with hungry hearts. Especially so much more to realize the hour and the time in which we are living in. Realizing, dear God, that many more days until it all be over. Last sermon we preach, the Bible will be stacked away. Call your bride up, Lord, to come up hither. Lord, while we have this responsibility to stand and proclaim this truth, to warn this generation of a great judgment that is coming upon the face of the earth. And Lord, them that desire to escape, you have made a way. I pray tonight, dear Father, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would once again proclaim this great thing that you have done this hour. Great light you've sent forth this evening time to bring us out of darkness. We can walk in this light. We have fellowship with you and with your precious blood to cleanse us from all sin. For he says this is a condemnation. Men choose darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. But Lord, if we would receive the light that you have sent, then we will not walk in darkness. Then we can have the light of life. I pray tonight that the Holy Spirit, Lord, move out upon this congregation, knowing no doubt, dear God, that there are many here standing in the need of prayer tonight. Lord, trust and believe that you would do something for them. Lord, you would come in their direction tonight. Exactly as Lord, he knew where he was going to pass. And he got himself in the way, Lord, put himself in position. So he could see when you pass by. How your grace was extended unto him, Lord. You passed by him in Corn and Glory Avenue that day. Lord, he was right there. Hidden, Lord, camouflaging those leaves. But you stopped under that tree and you looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down. For this day I'm coming to your house. Oh, God, this is the way that we believe, Lord, is seeds of Abraham. And this would be the day you would come into our house, Lord. This earthly house, this tabernacle. Hallelujah. You would come and make your abode with us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would touch every heart and life in this service. You would speak to us, Lord, in a personal way tonight. You would shake us, Lord, where we need to be shaken. Lord, you would bring up the sin in our lives that laying there, Lord, is hindering us from moving on. You take your sharp knife and you circumcise our hearts once more. Oh, God, may you grant tonight, Father. Pour out your Holy Spirit. Fill every heart and life, Lord. Them that are hungering and thirsting, you said, he that hunger and thirst after righteousness, the same shall be filled. Oh, God, and maybe see that Holy Spirit, Father, moving in this service. making yourself so real, making the word so real. I pray, dear God, that you would also remember the sick and needy amongst us, that are afflicted in the bodies, tormented in the minds. Lord, you'd be merciful and you'd reach out to them. This insane age that we are living in, spirit of insanity moving upon the people, such a pressure, bringing on such a neurotic condition. But Lord, you said there's a place of safety where the righteous can run into and be safe. I pray, dear God, that place will become so real tonight. The revealed word, the open door, that they can run into that mighty tower and be safe tonight. That city of refuge, Lord, the letter of the pressure tonight. Granted, Father. Lord, we just come in this service into your hands now. This request, Lord, for this sick person, I pray that your grace and your mercy be extended. Let your will be done, Father, in these things. For we pray, we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Just lead and direct us now in the things that should be spoken. Thou knowest how I'm depending upon you, just wanting your thoughts to be expressed, wanting your will to be done in this service. The Lord is past preaching little sermons to people now, Father. It's the hour to call people to repentance. Lord, when we must have that token, when we must have that life on display, for without it we'll perish. Show us anything else. And I pray, Lord, you'd bring us to that realization tonight. For we pray, we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for your sake. Amen. Invite your attention tonight to the book of St. John, chapter 14. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 4 rather, and one place in St. 1 John chapter 4. Three places, St. John 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and 1 John 4. We have a couple notes of praise, but Andrew Bosso, like you've got thanks. Provide the vehicle. Also, Sister Marion Manning, we'd like to thank the Lord for healing her feet from pains after first of her last Thursday. May God bless them. May just encourage your heart to believe tonight. Amen. You know, that body could get sick again, but what we want to do is touch us in our souls tonight. St. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. And that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that keepeth my commandments and keepeth them, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, what I have said unto you. Also, I want to read in 1 John 1, chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. That's the challenge today for believers. Many people want a God in disguise still. Many people want a God outside of flesh. It's easy for them. It don't give them no battle. They can come and go as they want. They don't want a man to speak to them. So they can't make that confession. To actually confess, God is come in the flesh. But the word says, if you can't make that confession, you are of Antichrist. You don't say you won't be religious. You don't say you won't go to church. You don't say you won't sing and worship God. But you say you're of Antichrist because you cannot confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Not was come in the flesh. It's easy to put him back in the past and say he was come in the prophet flesh. But remember the Pentecostals who live in that day when he was coming the flesh back there. You wasn't there. They were the ones who had accepted and they rejected. Because as long as it remained above his head in the first and second pool was alright. But when he came in the flesh and they had to confess that was God there and obey the sayings and keep the commandments, they couldn't do it. And every spirit, verse 3, that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist of which you have heard, that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You overcome all them spirits that deny he is come in the flesh. You overcome all them spirits. I want to put him in the future tense, I want to put him in the past tense. And praise him for it, but can't accept what he's doing now. That's the overcomer. The one who could overcome them spirits. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. That means they have a greater following, hearing them what they're saying, because the world is in the majority. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that knoweth God heareth us. God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. Have no other God outside the Word. We have God, he that knoweth God, heareth us. He that is not of God, heareth not us. You know, hearing because he's speaking the Word, and faith come by hearing, you see? By this know we the Spirit of truth, and the spirit of error. And one more scripture. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost. These very strong words. He that is of God heareth us, he that is not of God heareth us. If our gospel be hidden, what we're preaching, what we're saying, if it's hidden, it's hidden to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them who believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. You see, it can always sound like a man is talking about himself, or people are talking about themselves, when they say he that heareth us is of God. So Paul and they was faced with the same thing. So he says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves your servants. For Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness had shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in the vessels. It's in flesh, it's veiled. But Jesus said, in that day you will know I in you and you in me. In that day you're going to know it. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. If there's anybody in trouble today, if there's anybody that persecution is coming against today, it's where the word is veiled. Where the devil is not fighting nothing that don't have the word. The devil is trying to fight the word because the word is the thing that can overcome, that defeats him, that exposes him, that brings his works to light. That's where the battle is. Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. You may see a believer troubled, persecuted, cast down. Going through the world of trouble, everything against them. They don't need sympathy. Persecuted but not forsaken. Why? Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Cast down but not destroyed, because they're indestructible. Amen. Not even death could harm that bride. Because that's your word manifested. Perplexed, but not in despair, not without hope. Amen. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And that's why it's so hard for people to look and see that that is Christ there. That is the believer there, persecuted. Being pressed out in this hour. Until they're completely pressed out. To bring them to our ministry of the spoken word. Always being about in the body to die of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's where they're going to see God, in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Let us pray one more time. Heavenly Father, these scriptures were given by inspiration, for instruction in righteousness, for correction, for reproof. A place where we can place our faith, where we can identify our experience in this hour. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would quicken them to our hearts, Lord. And in quickening them, it will produce such a faith. The kind of faith that the scripture says the victory that overcometh this world. Grant it, Lord. Break the shackles of the minds of your people. Lord, the thing that make us earthbound and the thing that make us walk around as wandering stars and live, Lord, in this five senses. May as your word be quick and inspire us, it push us out in that super sense. We stand tonight, our heart has no desire to stay where doubt arise and fear is dismayed. Though some may dwell with these above, but Lord, plant our feet in high ground tonight. Let us scale the utmost height. Let us catch a gleam of glory bright tonight. Oh, grant it tonight, Father. Let us mount with eagle wings tonight. In Jesus' precious name. God bless me and be seated. I want to think for the title, A Hidden Gospel. For gospel be hidden, is hid to them that are lost. Such a great thing that is happening upon the face of this earth in this hour, and it's so hidden. Hidden from the eyes of the world, and could only be recognized by a chosen few. God allowed to look and see the things that is taking place upon the face of the earth. And in speaking tonight, I want to kind of just take my time and just speak from my heart what I believe is happening. And from these scriptures as a little guideline, because I believe that the bride is the living word. I believe the Bible is just the program of God showing what was going to come in every age and what the word in each age would have to manifest to prove that that is the word, until it comes down to the last age, where all that God is working to achieve will be finally displayed and wound up in a little group of people. And you know, here we are in an age that people, you know, they just the end. They're just becoming more religious, and just becoming more educated, and just becoming more settled down, and going right back into the very condition that God had to call them out of when the word came in this hour. And here we see the world becoming so evil that the historians are staggering the mind to see that the kind of things that is happening, the conditions upon the face of the earth. But when we look back in the scriptures, all these things with the flashing red lights of the end time, that we would know that when the time when God is fixing to judge this world. And it makes you wonder, you know, why is these things, you know, not seeming to have the effect upon the people? Why is the people becoming more religious and just contented to come to church? What they call the Christian life is come to church and go home on certain days of the week. Sit down in the house of God and maybe sleep half the time and kind of reason with the world and struggle in the mind. And yet when it seems that the word, we should be able to take the word and fight a great victory. Like David. David had a sling, but the sling he fought and won a victory with the sling. Shamgar had an ox goad, and he fought and won a victory with it. Amen. Moses had a rod, and he did something with the rod also. Amen. He brought judgment upon the false world and that rejected his message, the false church. And he opened up a way to bring the call out people to the promise. And it seems that what God has given unto us in this hour to face and overcome the conditions, it's just an education. Like many things we learn in school and we just don't even use it no more. You know, many people, they learn a lot of history in school, learn a lot of geography in school, and learn a lot of different things in school in the school days. And it was just time to spend in a classroom. It was just things that they went through and they was taught. And it was at that period of their life where they, you know, gave attention to those things. But then afterwards, they come along in life and they begin to find other interests. And those other interests begin to become predominant in their life. And those things they learn at a particular time, it just begin to be loved back. And in case, you know, they meet some old school friends and they begin to talk about history, who was a good student, who was a good student, that, then some of those things come out. And they kind of talk about it. And, you know, it's just a matter of fond memories. But the world is not for that. How many agree with me tonight? The world is not for that kind of thing. The word that was spoken, Jesus said, my word is spirit and their life. And the word was to establish the kingdom of God in our hearts. And the kingdom of God is the word made spirit and power in the life of the believer. The word was the nourishment, that the man of God would be nourished, amen, and totally furnished unto all good works, and he would stand equipped to face the challenge of the hour in which he's living in. That through his life, God is going to give testimony to this world, and the world and the generation that he's confronted with, they're going to recognize God through him. Amen. You see, in Moses' day, he called the people to bring them to a mountain to show them that God is in the mountain. He called us out to bring us to a place where God will live in his people. Amen. God is living in a mountain. God is living in a people. Redeemed, washed in the blood, and called out. You know, when the word has been quickened, it's inspired to us. It would make us act a certain way. Look at the scriptures you read. Just sit down and consider them a little bit.
And Nick, you can't even hear mine. Let me speak it like that. The kind of thoughts that would come to your mind right away. You think I think that that man is lifted up. You think that that man is boastful. You think that that man is arrogant. But here are John, full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He says, he that don't believe that Jesus Christ is coming to flesh is Antichrist. You know something? God honored that word so much that God make it part of the Bible. You know something again? God put those things in the Bible to show the kind of people the Alpha Bride was. They saw the Son of Man revealed in flesh. They saw the Word in flesh. They saw the image. They saw the glory. It was quicker to them that Jesus wasn't just an ordinary man there. That was the Word that bypassed from the beginning. They knew that that was the Word there. They knew that through that body of flesh, God is projecting them how they should live, how they should walk, how they should act. Amen. God is showing them the real relationship that man and God is supposed to have. What a Son of God is. You know what I did for them who were denominated, who was in a Pharisee church or a Sadducee church? It called them out. It broke every tradition around their life. They had a deep in their heart in that age that when they saw those things, they couldn't be the same again. You read in the Bible. The Bible says they forsook everything to follow him. It wasn't just a walk around his flesh. It's that they saw his life was the way. Hallelujah! He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. His life was the way to bring them that they could manifest what they saw him manifesting. That's what his life was for. And they understood it that way. That's why even after he died and went away.
Everything didn't come to an end yet.
Paul kept preaching.
He didn't know Jesus after the flesh, know him after the flesh no more.
Amen. He said, I press to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I'm reaching forth to lay a hold on the things set before me. Forgetting the things that are past. All the things that come to dung, that I may know the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He was giving testimony. It was something happening in his life. It was a place he had come to. It was a conviction that he had. You made the conviction to come to all what you learn has done. You don't know nobody and beat him into that? You don't know nobody and bribe him into that? You don't know nobody of an opposition into that? Because look what he got afterwards. Stoned, shipwrecked, beaten in so much stride, imprisoned. Amen. But yet, the thing that could make him all a good, comfortable living, his education, his social status, his religious profession, he got all that wrong. What brought it? An experience with a pillar of fire. An experience with a word for his age. Let me say this again. That experience of the pillar of fire wasn't so much the thing. Seeing the little light, that wasn't so much the thing. If he seen that light, then all who come out of Egypt saw the light. It's nothing. They saw the light and they perished. The thing was when he went back in the scriptures and the word opened him and he saw that light was Jesus Christ. He saw that the word for his age. Not only that, he saw he had a part in that word. Hallelujah! He had the ability to receive it and recognize it and identify himself with it. It was different. But the thing is, people don't have that kind of conviction. They don't relate to the word that way. But in a church, they come in a church after a while, they sing for a little while. They kind of go along for a few months until they find friends they can socialize with. Then finally, they pick up a few friends they can socialize with after 6 months of being in the church. It's a little society now. Amen. They have a few friends and have a little social circle inside of there. Amen. Then they can kind of move along and kind of, begin to compare everybody else now. And see who's up here, who's down here, who's seen it, who's not seen it, all the different things. And then after a while, you know what I mean? Look at all the things outside here. I would think that I'm in church. I would mean to preach the revelation. I would mean to not preach the revelation. And they get carnal, and they get carried away, and they forget what they were called out unto.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And they forget what the real objective that God wants to achieve in their hearts. Amen. And that's when it comes to them, religious. imagination, the conception of God change. Because they have a God, no, they can sin and don't have to confess. They can do things, they don't have to go and make things right. That's the kind of God they have in the mind now. Because they can pick out part of the message, leave part of the message. They can make a stand for themselves and a stand for somebody else. And that's how you want to live. Heady and high-minded. They get carried away in their own self. But God didn't call them to that. But you see, people, you can be right under the word and get deformed. Because you can't hear right until you have the Holy Spirit in your heart. Amen. And here was those men got Paul speaking the air in 2 Corinthians and bringing out the truth. He was trying to show that age. What he had seen. He had seen something. He had an experience. He met the pillar of fire. He didn't go to the next school and message school now and learn message thoughts. You know, first, he was in a Pharisee school. He learned at the feet of Gamaliel. And he was so eloquent. And he could put all the things together. See? And when the pillar of fire cut him from that thing, he didn't now come to a message school, not go to a message school and learn other things now. No! This thing was about experience. It was having a different kind of effect. Amen. His life mattered nothing. Amen. That a man could come into the world and he could become so much a part of the world, and the world could begin to have such influence upon a man's life. Amen. His very actions, his very speech, his very habits, his ways, everything is different. It's the word, a written epistle. And he's trying to tell them Jews, and you know, they were trying to tell them, we are Moses' disciples, and you know, back then they couldn't accept that new truth. Because this was the apostles preaching. The apostles had seen Jesus, the Son of Man, revealed. And they had recognized that was the promises in Genesis, that a seed was going to come. And that seed was going to come for redemption. And then, and you know, they saw little types of redemption, little shadows of redemption in the Jubilee. They saw different types of redemption in the lamb being slain and all these different things. But then there was to come to a real awakening. Amen. That the age that they were living in, that the word had come amongst them. Because they could look and see in the life so much, in the lamb life so much. They could see in the Jubilee so much. But then when here comes the living manifested word, the very thing that they fell from. The living walking word in a man like them. Living like them, walking like them, facing the same conditions. Living in the same kind of age like them, under the same pressures like them. It's a different thing. Amen. And how much more in this day? When a man comes and raise a family right here. Have to go through teenage Ricky and Ricketta's children here. Amen. Disobedient children and everything else. But stay true with the word regardless. Amen. With a wife who will answer back and slam down different things. And stand there regardless of all the problems. Amen. But stay with the word regardless whether it's in your household or where it is. Had the preacher at church every time he turned his back. Do you want to do all kind of contrary business? Amen. Amen. But look how he's standing there with that word. It wasn't school. It came by an experience of the pillar of fire. Now look at that. That's the kind of experience the pillar of fire brings. A real meeting with that word. That's the kind of experience it brings. A lot of people could be in benefit in a service by the pillar of fire being present. Just like they come to the prayer line and was healed of the sickness and healed of this, but went back out of sin and a denominational believer still. Never changing the conception. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But I'm talking about when you get experience with pillar of fire, that pillar of fire take you back to the word. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. When he becomes the author and the finish of your faith, hallelujah. When he begins to do a work, because when he begins that work, that new birth is going to bring faith, and faith is a revelation. So that experience is going to bring a divine revelation. Not just a sensation, not just a religious feeling, not just something to talk about now when others are talking about, I've had this experience, you can throw something they have to. No, but something that takes you back to the word, that is settled in your heart. Amen, you're a child of God. Amen, regardless of what your calling demands of you. Amen. There is something inside of you could pay the price. Because you see, God, that will God show you first. You are a son and daughter of God. That is settled with that revelation. You know, at the top of the pyramid, that is the first step right there, faith. You hear your name call. It's revealed out in the book. Amen. But you see, it's a lot of phony new births. A lot of phony experiences that don't go deep enough to bring real change. Amen. You got a lot of religious feeling, a lot of church attendance. But all Moses does most of the time is just warm the bench. But you have to come to a place where the believer with a real, genuine experience. Amen. That would bring a conviction. That from the time the word begins to be revealed to you, and you begin to see what you call unto this age. There is something in your heart saying, thou will be done. Not now, but thou will be done. Your soul begins to get tied to that word. You see that show. Look at Moses too. Had the same kind of experience. From the time the pillar of fire came there and began to quicken that word and make it alive. It was an experience that took him back to the word. The pillar of fire took him back to the word. I am come down. I remember my promise. Amen. I'm going to bring you out into a land full of milk and honey. Amen. And from the time that happened, he had to run the wilderness no more. No, sir. It was beyond what the mother taught him. It was beyond what he learned in church. It was beyond what this one tell him about and that one tell him about. That has only been influence of another. But when it comes to a place that God put it into their heart, it was settled once and for all. Amen. Then he moved with conviction. Then he moved with courage and boldness. Faith became fearless. You had a testimony now. And that's a problem. A lot of people don't have a word testimony. The testimony they have, you know, somebody meet them and convict their heart, they're back in the world, and somebody give them a book, and somebody tell them what is going through, or somebody's going through a hardship, and somebody give them some money to buy something to eat, or somebody tell them come by them and sleep in the night, and then they tell them come to church with that. All kinds of different things. No, but I got it. That eagle is out there wondering why he's different. Yeah. But before he hear the mother eagle preach, is something in his heart is different. Yeah. See, isn't that somebody bringing you and kind of coaxing you to come along? No, sir. That's why something is wrong somewhere. No, it don't strike right. It don't look right to me. I look at it with these eyes and it don't look right at all. Something is wrong somewhere. It can't be just a religious formal, powerless bunch of people who only weapon is argument and strife going in. It can't be that. Amen. How to be individuals called you filled with the Holy Ghost? You are no man filled with the Holy Ghost. Not a kind of little decent foolishness people call him the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost punches in a man's heart with conviction. Holy Ghost ties a man to the word. But the one thing I get that word, it might seem you have to make it right. Amen. 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 Genuine Holy Ghost. God, we're talking about. I'm like, you see, some people have a Trinity idea. See? They have, you know, God is different and the Holy Ghost is different and Jesus is different. So whatever one they have, you know, is the one that they can go along anyhow. It's all right. That's how to blood out the mind for a while. Get the conviction away. Let me tell you, you're pushing yourself to be a reprobate mind. That's what you're doing. Because you know what? God's going to bring you right onto the dying bed. And you're going to see hell right here before you when you're dying to leave that body right there. And that thing will come right back before you and help you get things right. Yeah. And God will have to get a few more days before he finish kill you. Yeah. Then he'll let you make it right and then take you. Then you can have somebody go save yourself. What about the young girl who's dying and drowning out in the sea there, in the lake? And God save her to make her life right and then take her afterwards. You see, God will do half a business. But we have a next kind of God in our mind, in our thinking. And here it is. No wonder the kind of people that they have to face to bring the message that they was bringing, because something in their hearts, in their age, didn't just see more like Moses, didn't just see more like Jeremiah or Isaiah. They saw the full world made flesh standing there in this age. And I think maybe that could be attributed to part of the problem. People don't know what they've seen in this day. They don't understand what they've seen. They've seen a mighty prophet of the world indeed. This is Brother Brown, a great man, better than all of us, and Billy Graham. That's what they see. But if they have seen the Son of Man revealed, the Word made flesh again, if they see God come back one more time before the Gentile is burned in fire, so that there could be a real bride come out, so he can display and project that light, what the Word really is. When you have 969 interpretations from all denominations, you can live this way, you can live that way, you can live that way, believe the doctrine you're going, believe that doctrine you're going. God says, none of that foolishness. God bring the living Word in flesh. He said, unless you come back, you all perish. Amen. And that's the way it was. And many people, you know, they sat down there and here was the prophet taking the scriptures. He wasn't just going to the scripture of a prophet and identifying, here's a prophetic ministry, begin the word. No. He went back to Leviticus 23 and said, the sheaf is being waved again. The first fruits, the first one from the dead. Amen. When you have experience with the spoken word, he didn't go and testify, you know, have a testimony says, you know, today someone shall speak and something happened. No! He went to the Bible, said Mark 11, 23. He went back to what Adam was back in the beginning to show us what is coming back here. And you think God's going to take a man for 30 years before he grew up and become the word, before all the promises could be identified in this day? And then just let us go in like that. Anyhow, when for 30 years God, chip and mold, it cost him yet to see his father die, his two brothers die, see, his wife die, his daughter die. All those licks to get him into shape. So the word promise of the age could be manifested without one flaw. We can know what Hebrews 13:8 is. We can know what the Son of Man reveal is. This man walking a Bible, have a little church, I want to preach. No! That God has shown redemption. And no one in Paul's transformation, when he stood there at 1965, an old man, he said to bring this message, what wasn't easy. Because things of value come at a great price. Amen. He said to bring this message, what it cost him. How he was so scarred and wounded over the years. You didn't come to a place where almost rejected, not one place of fellowship, not one door open to feel to preach to. See? Had to go through all those things to bring the word. To show that it is the very life that could redeem. Amen. And if it had been anything less than Calvary, wasn't such a unique thing after all. But when he could bring back exactly what was there in the beginning, then we saw only Calvary could do it. Amen. Here it is, coming in and it faced the people for a whole generation. And the generation is finished and still facing us, fading away, going away. It faced us in 1940 when a prophet went out there in a calling out age. One man! And we can see perfection in the first pull, perfection in the second pull, perfection in the third pull. Not one time it never missed. Until the very word, the perfect interpretation of the word came forth. We opened the seven seals. You know why? Because it's going to take so much. Because the condition we were in. It was going to take that measure to break it and set us free. If you're going to take something less, you're not going to a Pentecostal message. You're not going to a Baptist message. But the reason you couldn't go in with it, because the condition you was in, it was going to take the word to redeem you in this hour. So if we think we wasn't so bad after all, realize where it took to take us out. We're going to realize that we were lost regardless. Whether you're social or moral, you are still lost and lost could be. Amen.
Here it was. When that word began to be unfolded to them and they saw it and they had that conviction in their heart, the Holy Spirit took them back to the scriptures and they went back to the scriptures and they saw that those things was in the Bible. They saw those things laying there. It was the word. It wasn't a man's imagination. Peter said, we have not followed cunning devised fables because Jesus so accurately identified himself in the scriptures. He so preached the promise of the age. He so made the promises of that age work to let them know that what age they was living in. It was Messiah time. It was the promised time. It was the woman seed time. It was redemption time. Why I think the messenger went to so much pains to show us we're not in a Pentecostal age or we're not in an aeroplane age. We're in the astronaut time. We're in the wheat age. Why do you think he went through all them pains and wrath? We turn a corner now. He's not the Son of God no more. He's not a man to reveal. Why do you think message after message for years you have to keep bringing that promise manifest that time over and over and over and over almost every message? It's like he's saying one thing. You think the people show it still? They're still in seed. When it recognized in the message, it was passing right through. They couldn't recognize it. Why? Because the religious conceptions, how they held to it. How they wouldn't let go of those things for the word. How they held to the substitute lamb and reject the real lamb. You see? And here it is. We come up to the end. And it's been way before us. For a whole generation. And many of us here who have come to the knowledge of it for so many years. Maybe 15 years now in the message. At least for me. Some here longer than that. Let me tell you something. You never spent my time in school. Some of you hold a good job today. Qualified. Because when you went to school, you know you have to look and you come up qualified. And here it is, you come to the message. Something that begin to live now 24 hours a day, not just a few hours in school. Amen. Amen. Somebody having your car put on while you're driving. On your head while you're home walking. Lying on your bed right there in the cave. You have it in the book, walking on your job and everything else. And what happened? It's like it have half the effect than the school work had on you. Yet you're claiming you have the Holy Ghost is in the message too. That it doesn't depend upon your own reason to learn it no more. That the life of the Holy Ghost, God own life in you. Like it's so easy to live God own word. Let me tell you something. Our inventory doesn't go deep enough. That's why we have a lot of sin piled up down the side of the air and think we're going all right. You look, our inventory that's been in our body. When you take an inventory of your life, you take an inventory of your body. Can't remember lose my temper. I ain't close. I ain't tell nobody no bad word. I ain't get vexed and blow up. You still in the first pull. If it's your body, you're going to still in the first pull. You don't take an inventory of your body. That soul looking inside of the air. Is it coping with all the word? See, not the body. See, you know. People, this is what they don't understand. Jesus says, the world will not see me, you will see me. He said, Lord, how? You know why? Because I always got time in the first and second pull this year. That was the discernment. That's what they all come to see. That's what they prophesied. Who hit you? Who do these things? That's when I break the bread and do all the miracles. The eyes, the five senses are going to see those things. But we're moving now into another realm. Amen. He said, the world won't be able to see no more. Because we're going beyond the five senses now. And they can only contact by the five senses. When we go into the sixth sense, you have to have representation. He said, but you all who have the representation to receive the word, I will come to you. Amen. 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 That's why when Peter began to come out, the understanding in the word began to open up to them. He began to open the understanding of the scriptures. He said, well, you know, I can't read much of it. Neither did Peter. Neither did the angel, and they couldn't read neither. Those ignorant and unlearned, you have more education than them 10 times. And you're following the same kind of message. Same promise, same Son of Man revealed. Amen. Same thing we taught back. But something is wrong somewhere. Something is. You look at it, you know, what is it? What it is that, you know, people no longer hungering and thirsting. They judge themselves by, I go good this week. Boy, I ain't going good next 2 weeks. Then I'm going good again. And that's when they judge themselves. Because they don't really know if they're being justified. Because you're born again and you're justified, it's settled. Amen. Blessed is the man whom God will not impute sin. He that is born of God cannot sin because God's seed remaineth in him. Even if a man can live in a place there with no condemnation, but there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the Spirit, but after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Even if a man could live there and then somebody fighting up day and night in condemnation, day and night. And they don't want to pray to get the Holy Ghost. They don't want to get hungry before God to get the Holy Ghost. That they're going to live along for that kind of life, up and down. And yet the Bible is talking about a place where there's no condemnation. You can't even sin again. Because the sin inside of you. There's something to hold that flesh, hold that human spirit in obedience to the word. Amen. A consciousness in you that can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen. How can you become unbelievers? You know why I become unbelievers? When somebody's life is in the word, and we bring that word out and show where the life is and show where the word is. A lot of people know who lies way back in here. They can't accept nobody to be true. Because they don't want nobody to be little above them. Everybody has to be in their world. All of you, a bunch of sinners, don't you? All of you, living half a year. All of you, the sin, all of you, nearly backsliding. All of you, don't go to work. Don't hold everybody right in their crowd because they want company. Amen. So when somebody's going to preach the word and preach faith and say, look what God is now, look what God is doing now. It seems to them like somebody making fun of themselves. It seems to them like something far fetched. They really can't be here. Yet this is the time running out. Where's the people in? We are most deceived and lost if there's no people here getting ready for the rapture. Exactly so. Because we have lived that time out. You see? But what we have come to the message all these years? Where's our conviction? What does it make us do? Where's our soul really tied to? He said, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know why? The lost contented just to be religious. They satisfied in the church, they joined the church. They were a few religious friends. That's the heaven right there. They contented with that kind of life. And here you talk about the promise. And you know what? Always here, you don't show where God has reached and where you're unfolding to. And what you want to do to our hearts and the inspiration should bring for us to step up now and feel for these things. That you're always here, press into it. Look at the prophet here. He was giving that word on that rock, which is the Bible. Bringing forth revelation after revelation. All of them loose, them reformers and left loose ended. Water baptism, serpent seed, one God, no eternal hell, all these things. Revelation after revelation. Why am I again talking to religion? Amen. And the church age, all these things, Daniel 7 before the seals open. Bringing out these things. Word upon word upon word. Until finally his revelation unfolded to a place where he's going to preach the very mystery of the coming of the Lord, and he's going to see and recognize at that stage he was the first part of it. No light never shined because the one in whose life the first fold to be identified was now on the earth. He had grown into that place. Amen! You know where he was with the prophet? When he looked there and saw that he was that first one coming? He thought that rubbish to be going to God. He didn't try to make himself disappear. He saw God was going to come and unveil himself inside him. And he saw that that was too far from the scripture because Jesus said, in that day you will know I am you. That there was a day when he would be in the bride as he was in the bridegroom. Amen! Because she's part of him! Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Amen. And he saw it. And he said by revelation. And he had to preach it and believe it because he saw it in the word. Because when he looked to all the teachers, he said, no man ever taught that. He said, read all man writings. They never taught that.
Amen. And then here he stood, the end of the age, by the time you're preaching, you already rejected. You didn't want to hear that? They put him out of the church. Rejected. And he stood there outside the Laodicean age, waiting for the services to be open. And right now, he gave a big present stage of my ministry. He said, I'm looking for a crowning. I'm looking for God to do something here at this stage. Because why? He said, right after that rejection, the Holy Spirit is going to come and crown that ministry. He was looking for that. Look how he's bringing all the messages. Spoken word in the original C 962. Wisdom versus faith. Oneness. Come on, start with a perfect man. Key to the door. Influence. My guide. Amen. Bring on all them things there. Showing where he was at. What he was looking for. The junction of the reach. Then, sirs, is this the time? What was? He was beating them ages there. And he began to move into a place to catch something that was light never shine on yet. He was moving to a place to catch the seven seals by you know why? Because he was in the unfolding of his revelation. He was coming right up in that white rock. He was nearing the headstone. He was coming to a place where his thoughts and God's thoughts would be the same. Exactly. And when he came to that place, he didn't catch by revelation those things. Not in a corner where everybody agrees with you, or nobody going to oppose your thinking. But yes, yes, Dr. Scoville says so, but they're wrong. Yes, he said Larkin says so, but he's wrong. Yes, Smith says so, but they're wrong. He said, my humble opinion, the Holy Spirit brought us to this. This time the Bible against us, we know that the truth. Yeah. Amen! Yeah. And that was a message bringing forth to us the awareness of the coming of the Lord. Because that message was going to show us, we can't remain back in the denomination no more. We can't serve God back there because that's going to finish. Amen. It was showing that day is over because why? Here is a truth coming forth. Here is fuller light than they had and they would walk into it. Amen. They were looking for a way to come to the denomination, but here's a fuller light in the Bible that they never had come to. And now they were supposed to walk in it and they couldn't walk in it. When they couldn't walk in it, then what happened? They stay right there and perish. And you think when he died here, like the historian says, oh, but Abraham died, disillusioned man. Looking for a great tent ministry, a great thing to take place. You get talking about a great thing is going to happen. Amen. They know in the first and second poll, it had a 7 truckload of wheelchairs, 25,000 healed at one time, 20,000 saved at one time. In Durban, South Africa, 10,000 Bombay, challenge all them religious leaders. They said, well, surely, if you're looking for a greater ministry, that is multiplied form. You know, 7 times more. And then here, when he's going to bring on them truths, he said, I've never worked in the spiritual realms in all the days of my ministry like this last week here. Amen! Amen. You see? And here he was catching something in his heart. All them experiences and all of those was leading up to something, pushing him to a place to break into something that was laid in the Bible. But when those men come forth, it came forth right then and correctly identify him as the seventh angel messenger. There'd be something identified as the bride. No, he believed the scriptures, and that's where many of us believe it. He had believed the scriptures that there's going to be Elijah come. He put it back as John the Baptist. He said, we're looking for Elijah to appear in the last days. Even though he knows he's a prophet and he has that kind of ministry. He says, now when he comes, he'll be the messenger of the age. He's going to do two things. He'll be unorganized. He'll be like John. He'll be a one-man move. And he's going to go into those things by revelation, showing us what we're looking for. Let us have the right conception of it. And he had so believed the word in his own life when he came to that place. He said, I don't think I'm that person. Because my life has been a biblical evangelist. He said, I've been out among businessmen, hotels, doing this here, preaching here. He's a prophet operating that way. He preached the message, the way of a true prophet. He said, look how a true prophet is operate. Trust the Lord, come out unorganized, blast all these different things, go right back into the wilderness. See, the way of a true prophet. And then he began to bring out to us. He said, now what's something? If this comes up to the time when this ministry to come forth, he knew now it had nothing else had to come forth. He said, now the next thing is you open them seven seals somewhere. He said, you know, I'm waiting for a message all these years. I'm not healing, watching. Look at good message to preach, but you that was not the revelation yet. It will have to be something that to bring those seven thunders.
to bring those things out, to show what all them messengers have left loose ended, to bring it out to the people, so you can say, now the hour is here. Amen. Look how he came out after the sins of me. He said, I'm going to say plain now. He said, you know me, the mark of the beast. Leave those things alone. Yet he was among them. Yet he wouldn't say it before. Yet it was his idea. He believed it was wrong. He believed God would let him start none. God would let him get influenced by the ministers of Oneida. He said, unorganized. He said, 1962. He said, no, realize that was the wisdom of God that led me different. Now let me tell you something. We've been coming, looking, coming down to here. The world been opening the message. Oh yeah, we have to believe it. So, but many things that was put us in the rapture, and was wrapped in faith, wasn't open to us yet. We had the book, but we're still in the book. See, our mind was still away from it. But then when it had to bring our understanding, it was going to have to be something personalized. It was going to be something to show you are one of them. And we're going to be your little emotional feeling, nothing like that neither. It's going to be a continuous experience of the word upon word upon word upon word until you grow right up into the very word image itself. Amen. Remember that third pole? When he came to that first pole, healing the sick, just like Jesus had come. Great healing revival to attract the people's attention. Then he went for discerning the spirits of the people, showing them all the different religious spirits that was there, all the different ambitions of men. Just like the prophet came in this day, looking at the all robots on the build a city of faith, that's where his anointing leading to. Billy Graham only needed to build a big school. Tommy had only needed to build a big school. Trying to make men in their own mold and their own footsteps. But he was getting a different leading. He was looking at the Bible to see that there was a promise to come forth to try to bring men to become the Word. Not a start no school or follow him, have no little movement. Not to bring man to become the Word. Because he saw man fell from the Word. And he saw he was living the last age and the gospel is preaching back to the Jews. The Gentile time is running out. Whatever happened to happen among the Gentiles, it was going to happen right in this very generation. You watch and see how the prophet's word is going to come out so true. He said that Gentile church got in Revelation 4 and go up here to the 19th chapter. And all the great things you're looking for is over to the Jews. He said, and what they're looking for that day is long past, you know even what they're looking for. The last sign that Sarah and Abraham saw was that discernment, he said they went. You weren't looking for kind of things. You weren't see. It's coming right down here. People in, right there, the squeeze is about 95% upon us already. How many people are against your squeeze yet? Look at the squeeze there. Conception. See? In the religious part, then probably going to come. Questions are going to work on the religious part. Close on the church, otherwise you can't function. But on the economic side of it, it's all moving in upon us already. But people don't know what they're looking for. Well, then the message, you see, so they're waiting for that event to give them faith. And no event could give faith. Faith come by hearing and hearing the word. It is scripture inspired you to believe it. You think God's going to show the bride who she is in that hour yet? That we've been trying to do for the past 23 years. Showing the bride who she is. What part of the world she is. Just as Brother Bram came out of labor so much months and messages to correctly divide the age, to show them in a Pentecostal age, show the Holy Spirit to divide that one man's spirit from the bride, for us to recognize all parts of the scriptures. So he would hold on to something back there and try to see it come alive when it's already fulfilled and gone. And it was not faith. When people thought that was faith, it was not faith. Because faith was to recognize their own position. Then many who claim that they have recognized the position, their life is not even no more effective than what it was when they didn't know the position. They're still living the same life. Still living the same life. Something is wrong. See? But watch. He was catching something. It was that unfolding of the word was pushing him into a place.
when those things that was not revealed, not preached by no man, he says, I will all man right, never spoken of seven thunders. And the Holy Spirit been a quick those things. And here he been to see it in the scriptures. And now we are a place that heaven and earth will have passed away. All sensation, everything will have passed away. All experience will have passed away. But that word will never fail. And that's the place where you get the absolute now. He was finding it in the word. And his faith was no longer based on some sensation, something somebody told him, something he dreamed, something what he feel there. Otherwise, people can't tell a preach. You know, you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to find out that it's like rain falling on you. But I'm going to preach one day. Feel rain falling. See? Because why? He knows that can't be the identification. When the Holy Ghost has come, he will lead and guide into all truth. That's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. When that purpose is manifested, that's the evidence. It has to be all truth. Amen. Then you know it's the Holy Ghost, the inside teacher. Then you know you have the true scriptural evidence. Amen. And here, when he began to catch those things and he saw it in the word, that's what he came and laid as a foundation for us in this age. And sure, it must be back to the word. What we're looking for, he said, have to come according to the Bible. Because this is the perfect word. You can't even ask it, you can't take it from it. It must be exactly according to the word. The word shows exactly what the bride is going to be. It didn't leave room for no man to think because God had laid there already. Amen. Then when they begin to recognize, now Paul and they begin to recognize by an experience in their own life after the Son of Man is revealed. When we preach, if our gospel be hid, is hidden under the laws. Because here they bring that message. Not just showing people Jesus had come. Because he says, but we have that treasure in the vessels. Because the only way we can currently bear that message is in the very life of that message inside of us. Look at John. He said, many false prophets have come in the world. Amen. And they say, you know, Jesus is not coming in the flesh. They don't have that confession. Oh, they put back in the past that he was coming in the flesh. And he will come in the flesh again at the second coming. But John, he said, you know, how we know the false? Because God had to bring, God himself had to come in the flesh of his redeemed. In the flesh of those who were to bear the true message. He said, that's how we know the difference between right and wrong. Let me tell you, that is always the difference between right and wrong. What is a man talking about God? What is God and a man talking about himself? Amen. What is God in flesh talking about his own self? Saying, this is where I am. Let me be a man talking about God. And it's a challenge. Because the man who knows God inside him, he has faith. Because he don't come by his own understanding, he don't come by his own ability. There's something inside him that pushes him to places beyond what his reason could reason. And it's in the power of God. Slay the enemy every time. Amen. See, the Holy Spirit bring the word for that situation right there. Amen. Every time. Now watch. All these things that have been coming out. The bride knows that it's he and her, he says, fulfilling his own word that he left for this time. But Jesus said, you'll know I and you and me, you'll know it. It'll be a realization. It'll be an identification. It'll be the people going to come to a place, they're going to recognize it. They may have mind battles. They may think that, you know, maybe I'm claiming that, maybe I'm doing this. But God will absolutely identify his own life in his people because it's impossible for them to have faith any other way. It's impossible for them to overcome any other way except he reveals them in his inside of them. Amen. Now when the word comes, you see your condition. You see where you're lacking. When the time that word comes, you see, you know, the need in your life, you should cry out to the Lord. Amen. You promise. Yes. Amen. Yes. See, I'm seeing my need tonight. I'm recognizing my condition. Yes. I'm seeing where something is lacking. I want to hang inside of the air. That's what I'm supposed to be. I'm seeing what I want to be. Yes. I'm not what I want to be, but I want to hang in the air. Yes. I want to press in the air. Yes. Amen. You know, sometimes you're waving your mind, maybe you got all some. No, I know tonight I just sip and seed. No, I know I really lost. No! You said, Lord, see what I want to be. Refresh my vision. Wave it one more time. I thank you for your grace. I'm going to press in there. I must have that. Nothing is worth living for. Amen. That is absolute in my mind. I must have that. Amen. If God will make you a pigsty, let God make you a pigsty. Amen. That people get the Holy Ghost. Maybe what we want inside of here, we want a nice pink decorated hospital room in here. That's what we want. We try to make it a nice hospital room. No, a hospital room can be all right, but it must still be a mess. A butt is a mess. Amen. It's a mess. But I'm talking about that slave who got saved, really get the real Holy Ghost. And he come out in his preaching, putting up the place. Amen. And then his boss hear about it. But the boss, you know, he wanted the Holy Ghost too. Amen. But you see, he wanted his own condition. Still have the denominational hangover. Still thought, well, just, you know, as maybe there was one standard for this man and one standard for him. See? Still talk a lot about his own prestige. And he said, Lord, is it time I want the Holy Ghost you got? He said, boss, you want it? He said, yes. He said, boss, you think you really want this thing? You sincere enough? You say it from the depth of your heart? He said, sure, I want it. He said, come, follow me then, come. If you want it, follow me. Amen. Yeah. But the boss gave me a ticket to the woods. Amen. The boss, when they started to get deep in the woods, he said, where are you going? Yeah. He said, I want the Holy Ghost or you don't want it? Yeah. What do you want? You want church? Go back. If it's church, you want. Yeah. Amen. If it's religion, go back where you come from. Amen. But if you want the Holy Ghost, he said, you keep coming. Yeah. Amen. Went up a couple hills, went up a couple valleys. Them hills and valleys is good for us. Amen. Yeah. Yes, sir. God, I take us to some valleys too to get this dump in the place we can really get the Holy Ghost. Some of them valleys will shake you down. Amen. Shake the wall off of you. Show you what the world really is. You see, there's one thing in the world. The religious man, look at the worldly man. Out there, you know, with all his worldly fashions, and the religious woman see the worldly man, oh, he has come up and face paint up, and that's a better one than her. You ever been anointed nut? But I want to get two women. He said, come on, I'll show them two women. He said, this one religious here, what did she plant? And she went a short. He said, both of them are two prostitutes. This one religious and don't know it, that one know it. Amen. Exactly. So they look out there and see a woman out there in that condition, and they feel, she worldly. But you see, God had to bring you to a place, Megan, to show you what your worldliness is. Any excess of appetite is worldliness. Any kind of appetite. Lust of the flesh, pride of life, lust of the eyes, too much ambition is worldliness. Yeah. Amen. Yes, sir. Competition is worldliness. Wanna be more educated, wanna climb the social ladder, wanna be a little better than the judges. That's worldliness. You might not know how, but you're real high. As I was saying last night. You may not have painted the face, but you're well painted up. You don't got ambition and tradition too. Amen. But look, it comes to a place that the man begins to follow. So he says, you want the Holy Ghost still, boss? He's coming panting. But you can see him red in the face now, weary and tired. God begins to wave out all that human ability. Finally, he begins on the pigsty. Sambo watch him. He said, boss, you still want it? Say, yes, I want it. You want it tonight? Many you want it? Yeah. Oh, you better get it. Yeah. Amen. If you think you have it, you better get more it. Yeah. Because when you have it, some of you guys raise your hand and you have it. Yeah. Some of you guys shout hallelujah and you have it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yeah. See? You have a religious spirit, you have the Holy Spirit yet. Yeah. Holy Spirit is power. Power to overcome yourself. Yeah. I ain't saying I know healing can't be revived for the second pole, that's the promise. A lot of people want to revive it for the second pole. Want to get 25 people down on Cedric Street? When Anthony Patton asked me about Abdullah passing and create a scene and raise up some man, they want that. Yeah. But God has promised that. Yeah. The power he promises to overcome yourself in this hour. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Control that tongue, Potter. Bring that tongue in subjection. You can only speak as oracle of God. Potter, control them eyes. Amen. Yes, sir. See, he said when he get God in the control tower, then he's going to control his speaking. He's going to control his seeing. He's going to control all them things and he's going to control it to the word. The mind going to see Christ living inside you, walking inside of you. Amen. Finally, he walked into the, he rolled up all his pants and sat inside the pigsty. He said, boss, you want the Holy Ghost? He said, here, let's get it. May God bring inside of here like that. Amen. Bring it a messy place. Yeah. We're going to bring man pride out like Naaman. Oh, you want the whole, you want to be healed. Yeah. But he wanted his own condition. Come right up there. He wanted the prophet to walk out there and lay his hand on him. Give his own private ministering to him. You know, be on public view. You don't want to see the big general dunking inside the mud. A lot of us like that. We get so religious. We have our own special private experience with God in our closet. And then we call it a big religious zombie. Yeah. See? Religious in the core, holier than thou. You know something. Guys of God? Amen. We saw the real God in this generation. We saw the real God revealed to our prophet. Amen. First, second, and third Paul. Nobody will come in that kind of thing, show that kind of God. We won't see that kind of God. God will wave that for me. I see the real thing God wave for this whole age. Amen. And unless it don't come to a real mess. But if you want a nice pink decorated hospital room inside of here, you know, you want to sit here in a chair, don't you think? They want to look really shame a little bit. They want to come to the altar with a snuffy nose and crowd their boohoo under God ready to deliver you. See? But then I want to get an intellectual Holy Ghost. I read two books and I get it. God didn't promise that. Let me tell you, if that's the way you get, you deceive. God didn't promise that. No, sir. You got to be something real. When Paul stood up there and began to speak, he so knew there's God inside him. He said, if our gospel be hidden, it's hidden in our Lord. If an angel come from heaven and preach something different, let him be a curse. You know what I'm saying? That was a statement. You think when he made a statement, he kind of spoke blindly and never was conscious of what he said? When he was saying that, he was conscious, he was standing there, he knew what happened when he went to Damascus. He knew what happened 3 years in the desert of Arabia. He knew what happened when he met Peter and them in Jerusalem 14 years after. Amen. Amen. He knew what happened in Galatia, he knew what happened in Ephesus, he knew what happened in Thessalonica, he knew what happened in Corinth. He knew what happened in every one of them places when he stood there with that word. He knew where he was standing saying those things. And if our gospel be hid, it's hidden under the laws. What is our gospel in this hour here? What are we preaching? Every denomination preaching Jesus saves. What is the prophet difference in the prophet message to the denominations? He brought them to a new age. He brought them to a further part of the world. He brought them to a different promise than what they had. And he showed them, look what's happening there. Now let me say this to you, as I close. On that seventh seal, there's a part of that message that God left their seal up. I say all these things that come here. That the bride, he says, in that day you will know I am you. I'm going to give you experiences. I'm going to give you revelation. I'm going to do things in your life. I'm going to have the problem say beforehand. Then I'm going to come and vindicate it afterwards. You're going to bring faith. Like it brought in the prophet life in the cave to face the world of seminary education. It brings some kind of faith to face the whole world. You're going to bring faith in your own anointing. You're going to know that he have anointed you with the spirit in this very hour to be a representative of his. Let me tell you, you ain't called to no less. You ain't called to no less. You think you call yourself a preacher preach? Isn't that all you called to? No, sir. Bible said that one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. And many members in one body. Amen. And your life, when the Holy Spirit comes in that life, you must discover what the Holy Spirit anoints in your life. What it puts there, amen, to identify this word for the age. It might be just simple. It might be one little thing. But wherever God wants to use it, people will see Christ. When it has the effect upon them. Amen. Whoever in this place will see Christ, they will not hate God.
They ask you right now, they say, God in you. Amen. You think you're going to die when you see God in people? I mean, that's seeing a man raising dead and healing the sick. That is still not the identification of God in people. Not so much the Holy Ghost in manifestation, the Holy Ghost in action, he says. Your everyday life. The Holy Ghost having preeminences. Maybe one little thing. But whenever that God uses that to display himself, people see Jesus. They know that the same God. They have respect for it. They reverence it. You may get up and sing a song once in a while. But whenever you sing that song, I tell you, it bring healing in people's hearts. It drive all the frustrations away. People know the Holy Ghost just sang to them. Amen! Yes, sir. It ought to be no big thing, no, sir. People recognize the gift of God. See? You stand by the door and you usher somebody. But every time you usher, no matter whether it's a rainy day, a sunny day, a dark day, a windy day, a cloudy day, when they come in, they see when you sign the post of duty, you reflect in Jesus Christ. Yeah. And make them wonder, like, you don't get no trials, you don't go through no troubles, you're always pleasant. I want to keep them pleasant too. Yeah. Always on time, always involved, yeah. Always willing to help. What was happening to? You ought to go and have no healing campaign over? No, sir. At Pentecostal revelation. Yeah. When the Holy Spirit is going to place you out, you're going to see where God wants you or what God put you to use. As simple as it might be. Amen. And God is using it. When God is using it, it makes all the difference. Look at David, that little sling, it made all the difference. Look at that little boy, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes in the hands of Jesus Christ. It made all the difference. Where it was. See? As simple as it is. It depends on what you're looking for. Because this is not the hour of a one-man ministry. This is the hour of a body ministry. Out of a little group of the true seed of the word. The many-membered body of the bride. And the same Holy Ghost that ministered to the prophet, that divided himself in his bride form, but it ministering to his many-membered body. And everyone recognizing the place, recognizing the position, knowing that they know when they're anointed, they know when they're in the self. Amen! Yes, sir. They know. They know the Holy Spirit. Tell them, get up and go and talk to that brother here. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Go and tell up and make a sermon. They know that. Amen. Yeah. When the Holy Spirit me a person all bent out of shape and sin all day in the life on the verge of suicide, ready to give up and give in to the devil outside there, the mind blow, amen, from the pressure of this life. Yeah. And then God have you right there on the spot. Amen. Say, minister to them. Yeah. Amen. Bring and testify. Amen. You are not bring them in a message and the mystery ready for the foundation. Well, you need to testify them. Brother, I was lost to amen. Like a blind man. Hallelujah. I was lost to the God too. Hallelujah. I remember one night I myself on the verge of the same thing. I was sinking in despair, but love lifted me. Amen. I heard my despairing cry. Amen. That bring many a soul. That many a man claimed that ministry never bring one soul. And that kind of testimony bring many a soul. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Straighten out many a crooked life. Yeah. Bring them, put them on that ministry just long afterwards. Yeah. Say, hear the word and continue in fellowship. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of you should look back and see. If you think you're safe, how come your life has no influence? It's just not influence somebody else. You mean you can't bring somebody else? You mean your testimony to bring nobody else? Your testimony to attract nobody else? Or you only have a judgment ministry? Yeah. Amen! Yeah. Find out what's going on! Yeah. It's a many-membered body! Yeah. But you know why? Let me tell you why. Have no inspiration to push you into nothing. Well, I'm not even no inspiration. Do not pause. They never testify. They already think the person who is repeating want to hear me. And they think someone has one thought, they ain't better testify. Yeah. They change their mind. Yeah. Then they recluse to, well, if God wanted them,
They're talking to him. Then they go on with a hundred answer the ways.
And they drop back and back flitting and call. And the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is a house on fire on a windy day. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. I believe. Amen. In this hour, that brother people have to really wake up and recognize that the truth in them and that the real bride is standing between the living and the dead. And many a times that man don't want to testify or speak the word is because they fear rejection. They fear rejection. The Jesus in them don't want to be rejected. Their Holy Ghost don't want to be rejected. Let me tell you, it has not been one age where he was accepted. He was rejected in every age. From Genesis to Revelation, he has been rejected in every age. You tell me one age he was rejected. When is in David, he was rejected. When is in Samuel, he was rejected. When is in Moses, he was rejected. When is in Jesus, he was rejected. When is in Paul, he was rejected. Amen. When is in the prophet, he was rejected. Amen. But the one you don't want to be rejected. Because you love your little image. Amen. You love your nice little image. Your little holy religious image that you polish up with the knowledge of the message. And you look in your own intellectual conception of your mirror. Amen. And you see, you are one of the finest Holy Ghost filled Christians there is, ready to go in the rapture. You deceive and don't even know it. Amen. You know why? But I'm saying, what it means to lack is that reaching out for somebody else. Amen. He said, the Holy Ghost, what is the Holy Ghost given for? To go and hunt the lost. Give you part of the ministry. Adoption time. Amen. Hallelujah. Go hunt your fallen brother. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost is given for. See? You see the world, buddy, had right in the wall. You see everything coming to an end. You see everything fading out. See? And then you walk around here, like you still know what's happening. Are you going to go into the rapture? Are you going to go into the rapture? You know, by the way, you know, I never even witnessed in the message. You know, I never really brought one person. I think I witnessed the five, and since the first five didn't come, I give up on that. For the last 4 years, I never really tell nobody. You're going to pray for the sick, you have no power. You're going to witness, you have no power. What do you have power to do? Let me tell you, you know why? A lot of people get contented. Contented. You don't know you get contented. He's in Zion. He was on the mountain top. Only to realize you're down in a ditch. He's on the mountain top. See? Where's the fire? Let me tell you. He says, oh God, may these seven thunders bring a revival of the just. And a great power coming to the church just before it's going. And the third poor Lord that shall do great things for us in our midst. Amen. See what he's looking for? Well, let's start with a revival, church. Let's have a revival, church. You know one of the real evidence of revival? People getting born again. That's one of the real evidence of revival. Repentance! One of the real evidence of revival. Man had been convicted and again back right with God. That is real evidence of revival. People have a hunger crying out for more. Real evidence of revival. The world will not see me, says, let me close. But you will see me. I will come unto you. I will make my abode with you. When the Holy Spirit came back, among the disciples, being come to the 121st, in the upper room. And with the time the Holy Spirit coming to them, they begin to direct them into the scriptures. Because Jesus said, when he comes, he's going to begin to lead you and guide you into all truth. From the time he come upon Paul's life, they begin to take him back into the Old Testament, which is the Bible, the scriptures for that day.
And begin to bring out the scriptures. So every scripture tied to one place was to reveal what had happened in his generation like this. The whole Bible from Genesis to Malachi gathered up were out of the page of the Bible in the person of Jesus Christ. That is what the message of the hour. That is what he had seen when he saw Jesus. Man was walking around talking about, I hunt with him, I fish with him, I sleep with him, I do this with him. He had dinner in my home. He prayed for my mother-in-law. And that's all that's going on. And people was getting all soaked up into those kind of things. And then Paul saw that Jesus is saying, when you see me, you see the Father. I and my Father is one. Except according to one, going to die to abide alone. And when those statements of Jesus, all of me to come back to him, through vision, through the Holy Spirit ministering to him. Then you're going to eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you, these things. And they begin to separate the Old Testament from the New Testament. And begin to lay out the promise of the age. And preach to them. He says, look. As God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, so have he shined into our hearts, giving us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, he said, this is the treasure we have in earthen vessels. And this is what we preach to them. And who don't see that? They say, is it another loss? Because here, the same life was back in them, conforming them into what they had seen. They had received a revelation. But that revelation had shown them what God wanted to project in the life of Jesus Christ to them. And you know what God was showing them? He was showing them where they fell from. When they saw Jesus, they saw what they were supposed to be if they had come by the word. Not only that, they were becoming that word. They were recognizing they were being transformed. That word. God, Paul says, we beholding the glory that shines our hearts is changed into the same image. That the very thing that was in Jesus is here, is the very same Jesus. Let me tell you. In this hour, he's not supposed to stand here and turn his back and it's in your heart. Otherwise, he puts you back there in the first part of the ministry. That first part will be fulfilled. But what is happening here? What we catching? Just like he was between ages, and here we are, the Jewish age is fixing to open back up, and we are at the end of this bright age, the generation has run out. And something was pushing him and being able to catch those unwritten things. To show exactly where his revelation, when he started up in serpent seed, he's going to start in serpent seed until he comes to the end of the book and bring that messenger in the latter rain. Is that what he says? When God gave the vision, yeah, he was interpreting that right now. And them people had sat in the tabernacle there and they watched the word reveal and 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 reveal until they come into a place. And when those were being preached, it was no more he speaking. He said, but Abraham, at that time, you commanded. He said, you wasn't speaking no more uncertainty no more. Now let me tell you, if you remember my message, Jehovah, masterpiece, unveiled but yet veiled. Remember my other message there that I preached back to Joseph when he came out of prison and he was going up into the presence of the king. And when he went in the presence of the king, he came back out and went in the second ride. But when he came back out with the robe, with the ring, and the chain. And then all things he had been away. And I told him, I'm going to bring a message, bring on the holy vest here. And I said, I'm going to leave it and wait for a certain time. Now watch something. Now in these last few days that have gone by, these last few months here, where the word have built right up to. And those things they have laid, they're seeing the message, they begin to come out. If you have any spiritual understanding at all, or any spiritual insight, to see that those things have come out just at the end of the bright age and before the Jewish age opened. Look at the Holy Spirit bringing those things to show us how close we are with that sixth seal going to open that great earthquake. And he said, just like it was when Jesus died and rose that day, he had an earthquake back there. Amen? Amen. And all I should have said, Matthew 24, you opened the seventh seal. Said, Matthew 27, you were smitten. Like a loud voice, had an earthquake, and the sleeping saints arose. From the rejection to the public crucifixion. And here we have come and we have seen all these things coming out. God come, show us there in the book of Esther. And don't bother about those things. It's already my appointed date and time, everything to put us into effect. And Esther didn't get desperate when they closed, when they're coming against the Jews. When she saw the plan of the enemy, it pushed into desperation. That when the time comes, it was already ready. Because God says, prepare yourselves. When they come against the Jews, he said, you defend yourselves. And then here it is. Right between that time, Brother Abraham stood there between them ages. Rejected from that age. And before the bride age opened up with the opening of the seven seals, he saw all them dreams, six dreams, cap off into the vision. And he was watching them dreams and visions coming until it opened up. And it burst out. When he came back there, he saw something. He began to preach. Not son of God, son of man. He began to preach God in a man here. And it wasn't far from the scripture, he says. Because Jesus said, that day, look, I knew. And if that gospel was hit to that generation, it was hit another loss. It was open to us, and we saw it, and we come in. Now, he had 23 years afterwards. Here the bride was to come to that very place. Until she comes right up into that very second fold, and all those who are sealed up there, the hour is going to come, what is left back, she was going to know it's he inside of her. She was going to know it. We had known about the promise of it. But then she's going to know it's God inside of her. She is justified. There's no condemnation. Who could accuse them of sin? Blessed is the man to whom God will not accuse of sin. Is that what the Bible says? Then you know about the sinless, spotless, virtuous bride who never even did it in the first place. She's trapped into it by the adultery of Adam and Eve. And when she comes to that first husband, that first nature, that is what was producing the sin. Because the nature in you did the sinning. And you had nothing to do with that first nature coming. And when God destroyed that nature, then that gene of God, that new nature inside of you there, that was always eternal life. And that never did sin in the first place. And that was the word predestined. That was the soul. That was that seed inside of the air. But when he come back around, when the world couldn't see him out there no more, and they looked for him and they thought the angel left and the presence of God left and all those things. When Brother Abraham died, they thought he left. But you see, it was a time when the world was going to see him no more. But he said, you will see me. And the very one who was doing this, because he said, friend, it's not me doing it. I was the only one standing close. He said, what I yield myself to over them years. He said, he wasn't feeling a man. He was feeling the unfailing body of a son of man. He said, a man can't bring them things. No, can't be a man. And then here it was. When they thought that left. And people said, Daniel, he's too much the prophet. Even the message. Then, that one who said, the world will not see me, you will see me. I will come to you. Then when he came back to them apostles, here was Peter and Paul and them, was going back to the scriptures. And when they go back to the scriptures, they were showing where he had come to them. Where they had that testimony that he was inside of them. Look at this. In your measure and and the capacity that God wants to use you in, your experience can be nothing less than that. If you was one of them seed, then somehow that message and that revelation was going to come to you. There's going to be some, because see, it don't have to do with your mind. It has to do with iron. It doesn't have to do with, because he's not dealing with the mind to begin with. He's dealing with the soul. The third pole went to the soul. But when you come to that soul, you begin to quicken that soul to the word, and you begin to recognize you as part of that word by predestination. Let me tell you, it became easy for you to know the rest of the world. Not the rest of the world here, you know. The rest of the world. That's what I'm saying. Let your pussy be left. Bride or fight bride. No, sir. Yes. Comment on the song, the sister sang. When I step on my feet, my eyes cry, my mouth scream, and my heart aches. Because all the body feels it. It's one body. And you mean to recognize different parts of the body.
Yes,
amen. And let me tell you something. The word in you can help loving the word in somebody else.
Yes,
if the devil wants to get in your mind, say, I ain't like that person. From the time the word in that person project itself out, you like that.
Yes,
hey, you like that. That's your word. You like that. You, because you know why? That is Jesus.
Yes,
that is not Jesus, you know. That's not Jesus at all. Don't nobody tell that is Jesus. No, sir. That's what Hoffman think about him. Graham said, no artist could really be Captain America.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the flesh profited nothing. He said, no, I do the work. He said, but the Father dwelt in him that did the work. So the only way to see Jesus is when you see the word anointed and come to life. When you see the word open and reveal what was sealed in the word. That character, that life, that person. That is revealing his own word, then you see Jesus. And let me tell you, the only way you can see him is where he's revealing himself. Otherwise, you will see flesh. You will see man. When that word shall unveil him, and you shall see him, it don't matter to you what the outside is. You think all Israel went there and they got trouble? That bad just came. God can't be behind that. Look at that old battlefield. Even lion skin or something else. See? Or even deer skin. Badger skin. They can handle that. Let me tell you, all Israel never studied the skin. They knew that when that Shekinah glory was veiled behind there, and that priest walking there, and they hear them bells ringing come back out, they knew they had redemption. They knew that forgiveness. Amen. The word is still hidden today. Is so hidden. Because people don't know what the gospel is. The gospel is to prove he is risen. And Sunday I was showing you those who are risen is recognized with him in the resurrection. It's impossible to be recognized with him. Because the him we saw was the word manifested. And to recognize with him is that the continuation of that same word. Because he's the beginning of the creation of God and the bride is the continuation of the same creation. The continuation of the same scripture, same word. And when that word is being manifested and being shown forth, it's him you see. And you really can't see him outside clearly unless you see him first inside your own self. Because God has to be on the inside to see God on the outside. That's why many people today, they stand holding into opinions, they're confused. They're not sure, they're uncertain, not certain of God. Yet they can't seem to relate. When the people come and speak, but this is the hour. The bride has to speak positive.
Yeah.
When she has to know who she is. When she has to identify herself in the scripture. When she is going to realize. Let me tell you. It's not the next generation the bride is going to realize, I knew. That was this generation. We're so close to the Jews' time. So it's no longer thinking, you know, maybe we're going to see him just now. No. Any seeing God just now could be Moses and Elijah. Anytime you see God now, you're going to see him right in the bride. But maybe a lot of us look for, the thing that we look for is because that we believe that those who have promised, that's the way we are going to recognize him. And we look for a lot of manifestations. You look for a lot of maybe outstanding that will make your hair raise. Let me tell you. If you see the dead raise, that'll do nothing. When Jesus raised Lazarus, read it right there in St. John 11. That's the voice of the archangel calling Stephen out of the grave. Many walk away and didn't believe. Many tried to kill Lazarus afterwards instead of believing. So see the voice of the archangel raising the dead, you're going to see that. That's not going to believe out to you. Don't make you a believer. As many as were ordained to eternal life, believe.
Amen.
They have the representation to believe with. They have the sense of the soul to believe with. So if people don't do things to make a believer out of you, you're coming to the earth a believer.
Amen. You're coming to be a believer. You're born to be a believer. So God can't do nothing for a lot of people who sit on waiting. This is something to become a believer. That don't make you a believer. After Jesus did all what he did, it didn't make you a believer. After they saw the pillar of fire come night after night, discerned the very own heart. This is that man reading my mind. That'll make you a believer. So remember, if you believe in, and you believe in on the basis of something like that, you ain't have real faith yet. And you're trying to reason your way into it. But this is the hour. It must be real in your heart. To stand, to overcome. Because faith is a victory that overcometh this world. And what kind of faith? Real substance faith. Faith that recognizes its potential. Faith that knows it is He inside of you. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. These messages are very personal. Personal to you as a believer. I'm talking about you, the individual. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about the condition where we ought to be in this hour. Where are we standing? What our experience has been? Has it been something the world has identified? Has it been something that dovetails with the world? Is it something that causes us to see that it is eternal life inside of us projecting out? Not just a sensation, not just emotion, not just some reasoning, but it is the literal life of Jesus Christ bringing out the part of the world that's been manifested now. God unfolding His own word right down to this very hour, the leadership of eternal life. Has it been those things that you have seen in your own life? It's impossible not to have substance faith. It's impossible not to have perfect faith without a revelation like that in your heart. Without a confirmation of the Holy Spirit. Identifying your experience by the scriptures. Because that is what it did to Jesus. That is what it did in the prophet's life. That He could bring it out plain to us and show us that is what perfect faith is. Perfect faith is a perfect revelation. Perfect realization. Recognizing what part of the world you are. See your very character. Identifying that scripture. Making the word real. That's what we're speaking of. If that is hidden, it's hidden under our laws. There's no way. Nothing else can be done. God could bring my first and second pull, it still won't save them. And when that word comes forth, Christ identifies His presence, makes Himself personalized, show forth His own life. Then He says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Then we know that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. To miss that is to miss the word for this age. What good would it be to believe that Malachi 4:5 wasn't John the Baptist like many teachers had believed in this generation? But when that word is wrapped up in the flesh of William Branham and walked the face of the earth, many of those people couldn't accept that was the fulfillment. They kept on looking for Malachi 4:5. They believe it was a promise. They believe it was going to come before the great and dreadful of the Lord. But they missed it. Because they couldn't recognize the word in the flesh. The final interpretation of every scripture is always in flesh. Redemption and judgment. Our Heavenly Father, we have come to the end of again another service. Another opportunity we have had to sit in your house in the quietness of your Holy Spirit and to hear the word uninterrupted, unhindered. In your great providence, it has been your grace that have allotted us a time like this, that we can come into your house and be put in remembrance and be stirred, Lord. The prophet says, I have one ambition, to awaken the church again to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. To lead them to deeper thoughts and the high objectives. Father, I feel that my heart, that's my conviction. If we are convinced, we'll be concerned. He said many people are not convinced that Jesus is coming soon. That's why they're in that attitude. But Lord, we try to awaken the people again to the coming of the Lord. To recognize your presence. To know that you have descended so many years fixing things to the resurrection. We've come right down to this very hour. The work has been hid, Lord, for many, because it was not to the world. The third pearl was to the Father's spiritual genes. Them that the Holy Spirit would quicken and make alive and raise up in that seventh seal. Them that was foreordained of God to go into the rapture. Oh God, you've been bringing us into a rapture in faith. Into a great rapture in grace, preparing us for great translation faith. These seven voices revealing this great revelation at that time. Let us recognize the hour that we are living in. Lord, I can't help but after examining the experiences, the way you have dealt with us, how you have brought us down through these years, where we stand between the ages now like the prophets stood there, after the word has unfolded out down to this very place, where things, Lord, was hid from our eyes, being revealed and made plain, winding out this book of Revelation that so many today still don't approach. Genesis and Revelation, we were warned by a prophet. The devil hid these two books. But Lord, you've given us grace to look into it. To see your great works. What you were supposed to do, your glory, what you mean to do in the churches. It was supposed to purify us and edify us and make us ready for the coming of the Lord. It says, out of the ages come the seals, out of the seals come the trumpets, out of the trumpets come the vials. Like a first burst of a roman candle. Church age has been given by revelation, then light upon light follows. Until the whole of the revelation is opened wide before our wondering eyes. Truly, our eyes were open wondering. And we see these great, deep, mysterious things. Lord, here it is, right in the midst of it. What those men were dreaming. You promised a second ride. We sing about it. It becomes songs. It becomes little things we sing and make merry. And all flesh rejoice. But the effect of the revelation pushed us on, sweeping the message unto the coming of the Lord, ready to give every man a reason of the hope inside of us. Let all men see the great fellowship of this mystery that we have. Oh God, I pray you shake this church, Father. All of the pulpit to the backbench, Lord. Lord, stir hearts again, Lord. Cause us a hunger, cause us a thirst. It seems that we all have to have some little program to get people involved. All have to have some little thing. When we leave it up to the individual, it seems that people slouch away. If they have some little works to do, it seems that the fire don't keep burning. It just burns out. Until it comes into a little flicker. Just about to go out. Lamp shade become all smoky. May our lamps be trimmed and filled with oil, Father. May the burning brightness all like when them virgins, Lord, heard that song. They rose up, trimmed the lamps. They went in with a bridegroom. The others, Lord, was searching around, looking to find oil. Realized they didn't have any. Came and even tried to ask those for some. But they couldn't give any to them in that hour. While they went down looking to see what they was going to get, the door was swinging shut. That's going to happen one of these days very soon, Father. That door is going to swing shut. Some will go in and some will be looking to seek in the Holy Spirit. Because when they begin to really wake up, they're going to wake up realizing that there's something in their lives that's missing. They were dilatory. They were foolish. Virgins, Lord, moral lives that they trusted in. Thought that was enough. But what they lacked was that oil. May Lord be so troubled in our hearts. We'll not be settled no time until we are so filled with your Holy Spirit. What measure we have, may we it make us press on even for a greater measure. Hunger and thirsting, Lord. Be so filled until we are overflowing. Until all things are under our feet. Until every fiber is brought subject to the word inside of us. Oh, precious God, may you grant it. In the name of Jesus Christ, deal with our hearts, Lord. I could pick a word, but I take your Holy Spirit. Come behind, Lord, and call them to search up their lives and search up their hearts and bring up those things, Lord. That is dear. Hindering the Holy Spirit from having preeminences. Heavenly Father, take this message. Take us, Lord, into your hands, Lord. Have your way with us. We want to be more like Jesus. We want to see your word manifest without one flaw. We want to see the evidence of preeminence, Lord. We want to be more sensitive to your Holy Spirit. We want to be more humble, Lord. More simple. More sincere. Oh God. Many of us are so contented. Rich and increasing goods. And only our self-esteem, how we esteem our own selves, is not what your word says about us. Lord, I pray you not let us go away with a false conception. As we look in the mirror of your word, may we not forget what we look like. But may that vision we've seen, the perfect law of liberty, so remain impressed in our hearts. When we get down to pray, Lord, when we sit in the quietness of our own homes, in our own spirits, may you bring back your word to our remembrance. Things that stood out in our lives that we need to make right, Lord. We need to see the Holy Spirit take out of us, Lord. Things that need to be developed, brood upon us, Lord. Oh, brood upon us, Holy Spirit, tonight. Bring up that faith a little more, that virtue, that knowledge, that temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness. Let that love shed abroad in our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit brood, Lord. Let us use a love flowing amongst one another here. Such a feeling for one another, Lord. But he said we must have that same kind of love like it was on the other side. Before we can cross over. We must have that here, Father. The word was sent to bring that here, Lord. Oh, precious Jesus. Take us into your complete control tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we ask these things. Amen. 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 Let's sing a song before we go. Those in the redemption and those in the judgment. Either, please. If you're under the token, then you have the literal life of Jesus Christ in this place. And let me tell you, the only mistake somebody can make with that is to mistake you for Jesus. They will not get confused. Not in this evil age, not in this dark age. That light is going to shine so bright. Like the same way they took the prophet for Jesus Christ, trying to worship him. It's time some people begin mistaking us for Jesus Christ. Because the bride and the groom are going to come so close, have the same ministry before this church will go in the rapture. It must be. It will not fail. It's going to be your life. It's going to be my life. If we are believers, he's reaching out for you tonight to pull you up a little higher. Why don't you take a hold of his hand? Why don't you say, Lord, we sing a song tonight before we start the message, plant my feet in higher ground. Let me catch a gleam of glory bright. I wave that before you again right there. That same vision of that word, that image that we projected, that treasure we have not invested, that which we have watched unfold right down this very hour. It's come right down there in the hour of judgment. He that heareth us is of God. You're going to hear no God in the sky now. You're going to hear a man tell the truth. How shall you hear without a preacher? You're going to hear a bride because she has become the final voice in the final age under her messenger. She has become the voice of the resurrection. Not only will the dead hear the voice here, but then the grave is going to hear the voice of the Son of God and they're going to live. St. John 5. You know what the Bible says? Amen. And how much more in this generation to give witness? May we recognize that.